for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Wednesday afternoon service on December the 28th, 1988. Tape number 11 of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The Moody's are the teachers for the afternoon.
And I would like to say to all of you, those who have ministered up here, that this has really been good preaching. And the thought that crossed my mind, and I hate to say this, but it seems to me like it's been the best that I've heard, the best preaching I've heard at any camp. And I'm not really sure I should say that, but I just say it's very good. Now, I don't flatter you. You find out that Gene and Earlene are not very good on flattery. Flattery is lies. Did you know that? Okay, so if I say something where I feel like I'm complimenting someone, then I'm not trying to flatter you. I'm not trying to win friends and influence people. And as you can see, when I get finished with this lesson here, I'm definitely not trying to win friends and influence people.
Good, brother.
A term I coined for Earlene and I is God's little troublemakers. As you see, Earlene and I, we're little people. We're not very big. We're sort of about the size of Glenn and Irma. But man, do we cause trouble. I mean, ever since God brought us in deliverance, it's been 13 years of causing trouble in the religious world. And generally we cause, praise God, cause trouble for religious people. I won't call them necessarily Christian people because they fight against deliverance. I'll just call them religious people. And man, have we caused trouble. Have we made ways? And those ways have extended past the greater Baton Rouge area. Glenn, my brother Glenn, wanted to know if I was ready. And I told him, yes, I'm ready. So he said, pour it on, and I'm going to pour it on. I have two very hard-hitting lessons for this camp. And if I get an opportunity, I'll give the next one. If not, then I'll give it some other time. How do we get these lessons? Well, we get these lessons by working with thousands of people. What do? We work with their problems. Now, as an engineer, I'm a problem solver. And as a deliverance minister, I'm a problem solver. So out of solving people's problems, we get ideas for lessons. And so as we get the opportunity, we write these up. I've got one lesson that's typed up and one lesson that isn't. Eventually, it'll be typed up. All these lessons go into the deliverance manual. And the deliverance manual is under constant revision. I don't think it'll ever stop being revised until I die.
Amen.
Now, I don't have anything against women or women ministers. As you can see, Earlene ministers with me as an equal. And I consider Earlene as an equal minister with me. She walks with me side by side. She's not in front of me and she's not behind me. So how do we make a difference? Well, she submits to my leadership and I do the dirty work of casting out demons. That's about what it amounts to. She gets up and she speaks, well, I get up and do the dirty work of mass deliverance. But otherwise, I consider Earlene as my equal. She walks side by side with me. We just have different responsibilities. Now, I've got a question for you women. I'm going to trick you. Women, do you love me with the love of the Lord? Okay. I'm going to ask you that same question when I get finished. You probably have already guessed what this lesson is about. The title of this lesson is From Eve to Jezebel, Women's Weaknesses. Smile, women. I taught the lesson from Adam to Ahab, men's weaknesses, first so that I could teach this lesson. I made the men mad while the women gloated. Now the women will get mad while the men gloat. Actually, the purpose is to help both men and women. You should not gloat, but try to learn about the other sex. I have learned a lot by listening to Earlene talk about herself and women in general and by us ministering to many women. Women, what should you do with your husbands? You ought to teach him what a woman is all about. A woman is really a big mystery to the man. Now, the man who tells me that he knows all about women, he's just a big liar.
Right.
Okay, so women, teach your husbands what you're all about. Earlene is, man, if she really give me an education. And I'm still getting an education. See, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to learn how to be her priest her head of the home. I'm trying to learn how to protect her, to provide for her, to be her lover, to be what I'm supposed to be to her. And man, that's a job. It's not just because they're Elaine, but God gave men a tremendous responsibility. It appears that the main weaknesses of women are their feelings of insecurity, inferiority, and inadequacy. Now, I coined the term the little eye. Women, you have a problem with the little eye. Now, men have a problem with the big eye. Pride, ego, and vanity. The main reason women are in this condition is because that men have failed as fathers, husbands, sons, grandfathers, and men in general. The burden of responsibility is on the men, not the women. This is not, I'm not telling you this because I'm a man. That's what the Bible teaches me. I never forget, I went to a camp called Camp Quietitas above Baton Rouge in a place called Kentwood, Louisiana. And this fellow came over from Mobile. Blanche might know him, if I can remember his name. But he was a pastor, a full gospel pastor in Mobile, and he had a wife to talk to. Gloria Phillips. Sam Phillips. Okay, and Sam Phillips came over. This has been many years ago, like maybe 15 years ago or something like this. And he taught the men, and I'll never forget him teaching about the responsibility of men. Man, it just floored me. Now, I was really trying to be a good Christian man, but I saw how derelict I had been. And I had praise God.
Yes, Father.
See, I saw how I had tried to put off on Earlene religious leadership of my family, even though I was a Christian, even though I was going to church. Nevertheless, I would tell her to do things that I should have done. And boy, I tell you, God really got on my case. And then, lo and behold, after that, Earlene and I had 2 years of hell on earth. We'd had a good marriage for like about 20 years. And this is before we got in deliverance. And we had real problems for about 2 years with each other. And Earlene said we got that close to divorce. Our daughter was in rebellion. And we almost lost our family. We almost lost everything we had. We almost lost our marriage, our daughter, our ministry, our Christianity, all the things that were dear to us. We almost lost those. And then after the 2 years, God brought us into deliverance. And deliverance is what saved us.
Yes.
I see this as very important. I see the spiritual order in the home, I see it as very important. And we minister to a lot of women. Predominantly, we minister to women. More women than men. Unfortunately, it ought to be as many men as women. But women have a very good characteristic about women. They want to be helped. They're willing to admit their mistakes. They're willing to come for help. And I admire women for that. They get into trouble easier than men, but they get out of trouble easier. The men have the big eye problem. They have trouble getting over their pride, ego, and vanity so that they can receive help. Praise God. And I'm just so thankful to what God has done for me. So women, if it looks like I'm picking on you, I love you. I want to help you. I spend countless hours helping you. A good part of my life is devoted to helping women. And I hope I exhibit the love of the Lord to you, as I expect you to exhibit it to me. Now, let's go through the Bible. And let's go and see what the Bible says about women. Let's start at Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay, excuse me. What does Eve do? She asks to God's words. She looks for good things. She wants to be wise, and she wants her husband to approve. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Okay, so she used a substitute wife, and she was trying to help God out. Women, how often do you try to help God out? Chapter 18, verses 9 through 15. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah plaished within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah lie, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I lie not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst lie. Or she lied at God's promise of a child. She was not believing God. Chapter 19, verse 26. Chapter 19, verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife disobeyed the angels and became a pillar of salt. Out of what? Curiosity. Women have a lot of curiosity. Gets them into trouble. 21:9. Chapter 21, verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. She could not stand mocking or the competition for her son. This is jealousy and overprotection of a male child. That's very dangerous, women, to overprotect your male children. Many times they turn into homosexuals. Chapter 27, 6 through 10. Chapter 27, verses 6 through 10. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. All right, she was playing the Jezebel, and she interfered with God's plans. And this is even after God had already told her who was going to be in this position. But she had to help God out. Chapter 27, verse 46. Chapter 27, verse 46. And Rebekah said unto Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? She lied to Isaac, and she was deceiving her husband. Chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. Chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, and said unto Jacob, Give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. She gave her maid to her husband, to wife, for childbirth. She was trying to keep her husband's affections. This was competition and envy with her sister. Chapter 30, verse 9. Chapter 30, verse 9. When Leah saw that she had left barren, she took Zilpha, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. Leah gave her maid to her husband. This was, again, competition with her sister. Now, later on, God told a man not to take sisters to wife. This is a good example of why not to take sisters to wife. A man should not have both his wife and his wife's sister to wife. Chapter 31, verse 19. Chapter 31, verse 19. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. Rachel stole the images and lied about them. This was greed. And verses 34 and 35. Verses 34 and 35. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and set upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me." And he searched, but found not the images. Now later on, that little incident cost Rachel her life. Chapter 38, verses 14 through 16. Chapter 38, verses 14 through 16. And she put her widow's garments off from her and covered her with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way of Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way and said, "Go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee." For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What wilt thou give me that thou mayest come into me?" Tamar took matters into her own hands. She was trying to get justification. Chapter 39, verse 7. Chapter 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." This was lust for a man who was not her husband. This was harlotry. Now let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 12. Numbers, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Numbers 12, 1 and 2. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard him. This was a desire of women to rule. It's an inferiority complex. Chapter 30, verses 2 through 5. Numbers chapter 30, verses 2 through 5. If a man vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. If a woman also vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, her father shall hold his peace at her. Then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in that day, that he heareth not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. Or a woman is not bound by her vow, that God holds the man responsible in her life. If this is her father or her husband, if she's by herself, then she stands on her vow. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. When men strive together one with another, the wife of the one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand, and taketh him by the secrets. Then thou shalt cut off her hand, thine eye shall not pity her. All right, this talks about the immodest woman, which is a source of many problems. Now let's go to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 16. We're systematically going through the Bible. Judges chapter 16, verses 4 through 6. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, "Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Verse 10. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Verse 13. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hereto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. Verses 15 and 16. And she said unto them, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Delilah entices Samson. Go to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her, mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. There is a natural tendency of a woman to stay with her gods. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Verses 4 through 6. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, she gave to Penaniah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Women are jealous and provoke each other. Now let's look at chapter 29, verse 9. Chapter 29, verse 9. And Achish answered and said unto David, I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, He shall go up with us to the battle. Shall not go up with us to the battle. That doesn't sound like the right one. Well, let's try 2 Samuel, see if that's the right one. 2 Samuel 29. No, I don't think it is. Okay, let's just skip that one. Anyway, there's a verse in there that talks about women entering into witchcraft for money and power. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16. 2 Samuel 6, 16. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Verse 20. And David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. In verse 23, Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Michal despised David and became childless. Chapter 11, verse 2. Chapter 11, verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Bathsheba exposed herself. This is a common problem among women. 1 Kings chapter 19.
11:1.
2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Jezebel threatened Elijah. Jezebelic women frequently today threaten the pastor. 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 5 through 14. 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 5 through 14. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter, saying, proclaim a feast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out, and stone him, that he may die. And the men of this city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants in this city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. And they proclaimed the feast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat down before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him forth out of the city, and stoned him with stones, and he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. All right, Jezebel connived to kill Naboth. She was helping her husband out in the wrong way. 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 34 through 37, or 30 through 37. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out a window. And as Jehu entered in the gate, she said, Had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his voice, face to the window, and said, Who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, Throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trode her underfoot. And when she was come in, she did eat and drink, and said, Go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, This is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, This is Jezebel. Proud Jezebel was eaten by dogs. That was the end of Jezebel. Now, that's the Old Testament from Eve to Jezebel, and I'm just going to go through the rest of the Bible. To get a balanced teaching, I would suggest you get the other tape from Adam to Ahab, Men's Weaknesses, and you'll see the balance in this. It's not one-sided. Now let's look at the Old Testament, the remaining characteristics of women. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the seed wrong. Athaliah took matters in her own hands and ended up slain. Some women are callous enough to have others put to death or even to kill. Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job's wife acted foolishly. Some women ask or demand that their husbands do foolish things. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. The mischiefs of whoredom. Evil women use flattery and their alluring eyes to take men into whoredom. This really stuck out to me, the part about neither let her take thee with her eyelids. All right, men, you shouldn't be spending time looking into women's eyes that don't belong to you. They have an ability to take you. And they're good at it. Okay, chapter 7, 10 through 21. Chapter 7, 10 through 21. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtil of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she called him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, and with fine linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love unto the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken the bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. This is the cunning of a whore. The characteristics of a whore are the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart, loud and stubborn, does not stay at home, lies in wait for men, has an impudent face, offers gifts, decorated bed for sex, has an enticing speech and flattering lips. Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. Ezekiel chapter 8. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations if they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. The women were weeping for Tammuz. Women today who practice Valentine's Day are practicing or worshiping Tammuz, Nimrod, and Semiramis. Now, let's go to the New Testament and see characteristics of women. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. The Pharisees came also unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. From the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. There is only one right before God to put away your mate, fornication or adultery. Christian women are frequently looking for some scriptural reason to divorce the husbands that they feel mistreat them. Probably, if these women would truly live the life that the Bible outlines, the husbands would want to treat them right and to be like them. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The parable of 10 virgins talks about 5 foolish virgins. You could say that these are women who do not find out what the Bible teaches them to do as daughters, wives, mothers, grandmothers, and women in all walks of life, and then follow the instructions. Mark chapter 6, 17 through 28. Mark chapter 6, verses 17 through 28. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in, and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto half of thy kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charge of the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. Women get inward grudges against others and go to great lengths to retaliate even unto death. The daughter was probably dancing sensuously to entice the king. John chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. John chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. Jesus saith unto her, Call thy husband and come thither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. When confronted of her sin of adultery, she changed the subject from herself to where to worship. Few women can face themselves and their problems. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A woman wavers back and forth between choices of what she should do or not do, considering and reconsidering. Women will think of many ideas but not be able to evaluate them. Here again, the natural tendency of a woman is to follow rather than lead. The husband needs to listen to his wife and discuss the alternates. If the wife and husband cannot agree, it's the duty of the husband to make the final decision. The husband then must take the consequences of his decision and not to blame the wife if things do not go as anticipated. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, this is the duties of the marriage state are discussed in this chapter, and I recommend that all of you read this one through. Verse 28 just really stuck out in my mind. Let's look at verse 28. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. There is no way to be married and raise a family without having troubles, and everybody needs to realize this. If you don't realize this, you have some fantasy that when you get married, you won't have any problems, and then when you do, you'll get divorced. Problems are a part of marriage. You need to work together and work these out. Ephesians chapter 5, 22 and 23. Ephesians chapter 5, 22 and 23. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The duties of wives and husbands are mentioned in these verses. It is very hard for the modern woman to accept the Bible and to follow its directions of submitting in everything and reverencing her husband. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 16. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them first learn to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she liveth in pleasure, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they should ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. The qualifications of widows to receive help are listed. Note that a divorcee is not a widow. The church today treats the divorcees as widows and neglects the true widows. Some weaknesses of women are being idle, wandering about, gossiping, and nosing into others' affairs. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wise. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. But after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and not afraid with any amazement. Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being as heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The duties of wives and husbands are further mentioned in these verses. The key to winning the lost husband is your conduct, not preaching and beating the man over the head with the Bible. Now, I'm going to do some discussion. We've gone through the Bible, and I hit the highlights of the Bible about what it says about women's weaknesses. Now, we talk about a study of Scriptures. The basic nature of man and woman can be seen by a study of the Scriptures and observing human nature. Adam and Eve are good examples to study since they were created without sin. You can study how they were created and how they fell into sin. Another list of weaknesses of women is the opposite of the godly characteristics listed in the Bible. So if you women go through the Bible and you find out what the godly characteristics are, you can see what you shouldn't do. Women want to be equal with men and to do everything that men do. They want to be admired and for others to think that they are spiritual. They want to have the wisdom God gives to a godly man or to be like God. They have spiritual pride and want to be looked up to as one who hears from God. They enter into false gifts to be noticed. Because a woman is programmed by God to follow a man, she will tend to stay in a bad situation. She will tend to follow the gods of her husband. The Bible tells us what are the responsibilities of the man and woman. They are not the same. We get into trouble when the man acts like a woman and the woman acts like a man. The man is not capable of doing all the jobs. The woman is not capable of doing all the jobs that the man can do. Many times when she tries to do the job of a man, she breaks down somewhere and falls back on using womanly wiles or witchcraft to get the job done. Now let's look at treatment of women by men. Okay, we've looked at 1 Peter 3:7, and I don't think we read Colossians. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. I think that was one of them I missed. But it's very important. Colossians chapter 3. Now, I was particularly interested in verse 19, but let's just look at, in these four verses, you can summarize how the perfect family should be. God's laid it out in four little verses. Wives, submit to your husbands, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. The woman is a weaker vessel. The husband must have knowledge of his wife's weaknesses. He should understand the basic nature of the woman as God made her. He should honor his wife and help her to overcome her weaknesses. The husband must not be bitter against his wife. The husband is the king, and the wife is the queen of the household. The children are to stand between the two strong parents who will protect them until they leave home. The man is not a dictator or tyrant. The woman is not a slave, a dog, or inferior. She does not walk ahead of him and lead the family. She does not walk behind him as a servant. She walks with him side by side to guard the family and be a helpmate to him in what God has called him to do. We compiled a lesson called Perfect Family with a Perfect Relationship to God. This 20-page lesson outlines what the Bible says about the family. If you believe the Bible and can see what God says about the family, then you will try to follow the instructions. Colossians 18 through 21, we read that. A summary of the perfect family before God states, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit to your husbands. But you need to study that. Husbands, you need to study how you're supposed to love your wife. Wives, you need to study how to submit to God. And it's not women's liberation. And the Bible has some very strong statements of submission. Very strong. Tends to infuriate most women. That's just the way God put it. Ahab and Jezebel. It is very interesting to study the scriptures about Ahab and Jezebel. We have two excellent tracts that we give to people, the curse of Ahab and the curse of Jezebel. And they're back there on the back, and any of you who don't have a tract or like to have an instrument or whatever, get you one. The curse of, and both you should read both of those tracts. You get to see a pattern of men and women, Ahab and Jezebel. We have used this teaching to help many people. We give this out to everyone who comes to their home for ministry. Everyone has problems in this area, and we can trace their problems back to our ancestors, Adam and Eve. They had these problems too. Women scheme and connive to get their way. They want to control others. Women get into witchcraft so that they can manipulate others for their benefit. Some women despise their husbands when they become priests of the home and the woman is no longer the spiritual head. Women use their bodies to sensuously attract men and to get their way. Women entice men with their words and exposure of their bodies. Women are afraid of other women who will steal their husbands. Now, I'm going to pose you a list of questions. I'm a little reluctant to give this to you. I'm not sure you can handle it. I would say a couple of minor words here is dynamite. This is dynamite. This is a very sensitive area. I'm just going to pose these questions to you. And I asked Earlene to come up with answers. But so far, she hasn't come up with answers. I'm not sure she wants to address this question. And in a minute, I'm going to give Earlene a chance to come up here and add anything she wants to this lesson. These are just questions. I'm posing you these questions. Why would I pose you these questions? Because I want you to think about them. I want you to consider them. Maybe you can come up with answers. One. Part of our calling is to minister to pastors and other Christian leaders and their families. As we have ministered to this group of people, there have been a lot of questions formed in our minds. And I wrote these questions as I was heading back from Lake Hamilton Bible Camp on another camp meeting. And I really would like Earlene to answer these someday.
Maybe I'll answer them today.
Yeah, maybe she'll answer them today. Okay, maybe I can give her courage to answer. It's a difficult area. Two, the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel, 1 Peter 3:7. What does that mean to you? How is the man the stronger vessel? Think about it, men. This is for men and women both to think about. Three, let's say that the woman is weaker physically and spiritually than the man. How can she be used in the ministry? How did women minister in the Bible? Four, the Bible says that the man is priest and head of the home, 1 Corinthians 11:3, Proverbs 1:8. How should he minister to, provide for, and protect the wife and the children? Five, suppose a man will not be priest and head of the home. Why does a woman then try to manipulate or be a Jezebelic woman to get things that she and the children need in the spiritual and physical realms? Six, Suppose a woman is married and her husband will not provide spiritual protection. Can she shift this responsibility to her pastor or to any man other than her husband to be her protective covering? What is the covering of a woman? 1 Corinthians 11:3-16. 7. We have ministered to many women without their husband's presence who either were not saved or did not believe in deliverance. What is the frequent result of only ministering to the woman without her husband present? 8. There are many women's meetings in the land today. Why do women like to meet without their husbands? 9. Consider the basic way a woman thinks. What happens to a woman in her mind when she has no male leadership? 10. Should a man minister to a woman alone in deliverance? Should a woman minister to a man alone in deliverance? What is the possible happening? 11. The Bible talks about Priscilla and Aquila, 1 Corinthians 16:19. Is this a husband and wife team? 12. We minister as a husband and wife team. What are the advantages of this method? What about protection from sex traps laid by Satan? 13. What characteristics are taken on by women who minister full-time? Do they try to emulate or copy men? 14. God sent out men two by two, Luke 10:1. Was God discriminating against women? 15. Assume a woman minister travels with another woman. What are the pitfalls? 16. Assume a woman who ministers by herself is either married or unmarried. What are the pitfalls? 17. Assume a woman who ministers is married and her husband is unsaved or saved and will not travel with her. What are the pitfalls? 18. In the Bible, the family is considered as an institution or unit, Genesis 2:24, and was created even before the church. What happens when the family is separated by occupations, ministry, or the church? How can the church help to destroy the family by having too many meetings for different members of the family? What is gained by keeping the family together as a unit in work, play, and church? And this last one, you going to say something, honey?
I might.
Okay, Early might say something. She better make up her mind. Yeah. Okay, this last one, this is a good one to pose to Early. What would you like to add to these questions from your viewpoint as a wife, mother, Christian woman, and deliverance minister? Now, I'm not really asking you to address all these questions because that was not intended. But I'd just like for you to add anything that you want to the teaching today, and then I'm going to cast out some demons.
Well, you know this, is it on? Okay, the young man who was talking this morning reminded me of something that I had noticed once before. Do you know who told the first lie in the Bible? And do you know what the lie was? She says, neither shall you touch it. That was the first lie a woman told the devil. Now, I may be mistaken in this, but I believe that Sarah told the first lie to God when she said, I didn't laugh. And I would like him to tell me, because I'm not a real good student like that of little details. But anyway, we do lie. Oh, women do lie. My mom taught me to lie. She told me when I was very little. And you know, we moms, we don't think about the seriousness of what we do. But when I was very little, she didn't want to talk to the Watkins delivery man who brought things out to the country on his route. And so she says, Early, run to the door and tell him I'm not here. So I was obedient, child. I ran to the door and I said, Mama's not here. I began to lie. And when I found myself in a place where the consequences might not be good if I told the truth, I lied. And I think most women, if they're truthful, do. Our husbands say, do you like this? And we lie. We say, yeah. Okay, let's see. There was a couple of other things. I think one of the things that Jean sort of missed here, and is very common to us ladies, is Judges 16:16. And that's the way that we pressure our husbands to do what we want them to do. You know, we say, we think it'd be nice if we did so and so, and maybe our husband says, well, you know, these are the reasons why we can't do that. But we kind of want to do it. So about time he gets real comfortable at night, we hit him up again. And we hit him up at breakfast in the next morning, and we hit him up again, you know, right when he's thinking about something else. And we just insist and insist and insist. And eventually he lets us have our way, often with miserable consequences. Women have a tendency to either have a somewhat sensual admiration for the preachers or a demonic despising of them. And Micah was that way with David. And if a lot of times if the women can't manipulate the preacher, they start out to destroy him. And I've seen it. I've watched it. And I've probably been guilty of it myself sometimes, saying I don't believe what he said. But I feel like the things that are inherent with women started with Eve. You know, we don't know. I don't know for sure exactly how long they were in the garden. But being a woman, I feel that they were long enough there that she began to feel inferior, because her words sort of tell us that. Her desires sort of tell us that she felt inferior. She didn't feel as good as God. She didn't feel as good as her husband. And so she wanted to feel as good and be like them. And therefore, we do that. I grew up with five brothers and my dad, and it seemed like my brothers and my dad did everything that was fun. And they were always telling me, but you can't do that. You're a girl. I wanted to play baseball, and they said, and I could do that with the family at home, but when it came to playing baseball on the team at school, they said, you can't do that. You're a girl. And I got this idea that it'd be better to be a boy. And after we got into deliverance, Gene had to cast the masculine spirit out of me, because if anything needed to be fixed around the house, I'd do it. I'd carpentry. And I'm a good carpenter, aren't I?
Right.
And I'd do all kinds of things, but the reason I did it was to show him up. We first got married, he told me he knew everything. And I thought he was telling me the truth. And then I asked him to fix my electric iron. And you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, I couldn't iron. And one day I just said, well, I'll fix that thing myself. And I did. And from there on, I had that spirit of I would do it to show him up. And after deliverance, I found I could still do those things, but my whole purpose was different. No need to try to be one way or the other. If it needs fixing, I can fix it. I just fixed my dishwasher. I put in two gaskets beneath.
Right.
See, he says, right. But, you know, it's a lot of times the motivation and the purpose and the reason for why we do something. And as a woman, I've enjoyed looking at myself. I didn't always like what I saw. In fact, most of the time I didn't like what I saw, because I had come up at a time when girls were considered, at least by my folks, girls were considered, well, you know, why send them to college, my daddy said. You know, why should I send you to college? You just come home and get married and clean potties and sweep the floors, and there's just no point in it, you see. And that left me feeling like I had to prove myself. And a lot of women feel that way about their husbands. I've got to prove to my husband that I'm such and such. And I can give the men a little secret. What women really want is they would love to have a man who was kind and firm, but gentle, loving, strong in the Lord, willing to guide the children. You know, the Bible tells the men to tenderly raise the children. Okay, we would really like for you to be what the Bible says, but we get all mixed up by our fathers and by our mothers, and we come to you in a mess. Of course, the secret is you came to us in a mess. So what Gene and I have found, the greatest fun in our life has been the last, 15 years or so since we've been delivered. We've had more fun discussing our common weakness, you know, the weaknesses common to women and how I do them and him. And it's been such fun to get correct, just correct all those things. Sometimes Gene tells me, well, now, what is your real reason for that, in so many words? And then I start trying to explain my real reason, and it is obvious to me what it is. It's one of these tactics that he's mentioned, one of these frailties of women that I've gotten myself into. And so I have learned in the last few years that I can be straightforward, that I can tell him how I feel. I can even tell him how I see something. I can disagree with him. He's learned not to get hurt, not to fly off the handle, and to show me, well, we have a little saying that we have it. I show him the trees and he shows me the forest. And I think it's pretty good because women are tend to be messed up with the details and men with the big overall picture. And if we use that together, we can build. But usually when the woman tells the man the details, he goes, ah! And when he tells her the forest, she goes, ah! And then they have a big fight. But if you can learn to put the two things together, it's like the ingredients for cake. If you get them together right, it works good. And it's fun to start working it. And so I think even though all these faults are common to us women folk, that we can take a conscious look at them and we can change because we have the Lord Jesus Christ who told us, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me.
Can I ask a question? How come if women had a week of mental, their nursing homes are full of old women?
I've got an answer for that, do you? You see, I think a lot of times as we go through life, women have the lesser physical exertion.
I don't think that's
and
they gave up a job and a family and kids and all kinds of things.
Well, this day and age we do, but the people you're talking about in the nursing home often have not had. But anyway, whatever the cause is, we need to see what we can do to correct it.
Thank you, Arlene. I didn't know what Arlene was going to say. That was good. praise God. I like to use Earlene to help balance me out here. I think a man without a woman is unbalanced. A woman without a man is unbalanced. We tend to balance each other. The man needs the woman's input. The woman needs the man's input. Okay, I've got some demons here that we want to go against. Okay. It's been I don't know when we got started here, but why don't y'all stand up and stretch. Take a good stretch and just get the kinks out of your mind and out of your muscles and open that gate that holds the demons in. Let's see, if you can get me a glass of water too, honey. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, I'm going to ask you that $64,000 loaded question that puts you on the spot. Women, do you love me?
Yeah.
Women, do you love me?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Has this been a tough lesson on you?
Not really. Very needed.
Okay. Now, most pastors would not even touch this lesson with a 10-foot pole. You see, I don't have anything to lose. I don't have a church to lose. I don't have any congregation to lose. I'm not concerned about whether you give me any money or not. I just thank God for the freedom I have to preach the truth of the Word of God. Thank you, Arlene.
There's a lot of stones outside. Don't throw any at him.
I think you'll find that Arlene and I spare no one. We don't spare the men, the women, the children, ourselves. The session that I taught the lesson about the men, I made the men man. Then Earlene went up to the women's meeting. She made the women man. And then before we left, we had a meeting of the leaders, and I promptly made them man. So we made the whole camp man before we left that time. So we're good at that. We're God's little troublemakers. But we help a lot of people through all the trouble we cause. Okay, the Lord is going to have to show me how to pray about this, and I don't have a form prayer. But let's see.
Lord Jesus Christ,
I have heard this lesson.
I have heard all of these scriptures.
I will apply them to my heart.
I will study
and meditate upon them.
I will try to do my part
as a man
or as a woman.
Forgive me, Lord Jesus,
where I have sinned
and fallen short
of the grace of God.
I repent.
I repent
for not taking my position
as a priest and head of the home.
I repent
for not submitting
To the priest and head of the home.
To the priest and head of the home.
Lord, I'm truly sorry.
Lord, I'm truly sorry.
I have paid a penalty.
In my life,
in my marriage,
and
in my children.
Forgive me, Lord
Jesus, for the way I have damaged my children
through my actions.
I'm truly sorry. Lord, give me a chance
to help them through the years,
to restore my relationship with them.
That they might truly follow you.
Now, Lord Jesus,
help me to get rid of these demons.
I repent
for pride, ego, and vanity.
I repent
for high-mindedness,
for super spirituality,
for placing myself
above the Word of God.
I want to be pleasing in your sight,
Lord. And I want my enemies to be at peace with me.
Now I forgive my husband
for the way that he has treated me.
I forgive my wife
for the way that she has treated me.
I forgive my children
for not obeying me
and honoring me.
Help the whole family,
Lord,
to line up with the Word of God.
For it's in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Satan, we come against you. We come against all powers, principalities, evil forces in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We come against all demons, inside or outside of anyone present, over this city, state, nation, world, in hell and out of hell. The Bible says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We intend to exercise that power to set ourselves free. Satan, we come against you by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Word of God and the name of Jesus, by the authority of the believers and unity of our spirits. We command that you line up in rank and file and order and come out quickly. We bind every power that you have. We loose ourselves from you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord Jesus, we just ask you to send legions of angels, warring angels, ministering angels, the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God to come down and do a mighty work on earth today, and especially Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. We bind up every force of evil and release every force of good. We have the power and authority to do so in Jesus' name. Now, Lord Jesus, I just ask that you surround this place with a legion of angels. I ask that you remove every loose demon from the air so we'll only have to deal with the demons within the people falling. And, Lord, I just ask you cut off all communications and the forces outside of the forces inside in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I just pray that you would manifest your gifts here today to help the people falling. And, Lord, we're just careful to give you all the glory, honor, praise, and credit for everything that's said and done. And all these things we ask to bless the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master and our Savior. Amen. Okay, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against those spirits of rejection, especially those spirits of rejection that come into the women, the rejection of the women. I call out those spirits of rejection that came into the women through their grandfathers and their fathers, their husbands, their brothers, Christian brothers. I come against all those spirits that would reject the women, that would cause the women to be rejected, to feel like they have been put down. I call out those demons in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out of my sisters right now in Jesus' name. Spirits of rejection, that fear of rejection that women have, they fear that their husbands will reject them and go find another wife. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. That fear of rejection, the fears that women have that the men are going to find another wife, that the men don't love them. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Those spirits of rejection, I call you out, I drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. That rejection by their children, they feel like their children don't love them. I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the women. Their children don't love them. Those rejections that tell the women that they're unlovely, that nobody can love them, that they're ugly and so forth. I come against those ugliness demons. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out of the women right now. all the self-rejection. I call out all that self-rejection that women do, where they reject themselves. They cannot accept themselves, and they reject themselves. I command those demons to go in Jesus' name. Now, come out. Come out right now, those demons. I command you to go. I bind your power, and I drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, come out of them. Loose them and set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. You'll come out of them. All rejection, all fear of rejection, self-rejection, rejection by rejection of themselves, rejection by their husbands, by their fathers, by their grandfathers, that deep-seated rejection. I want that deep-seated rejection that comes in through not being raised properly, where the husband, where the father or the grandfather does not show them love. The demons that come in where the father especially did not show the girls love. Now come out. Come out, those spirits of rejection that come in through being improperly raised by the husband, by the father not showing them love. Those demons that come in through the husband not properly loving his wife as Christ loved the church. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. I want all these rejection spirits that come in where the husband does not love the wife properly. Now come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. That's right. We hate you, rejection. We hate all sin and iniquity. We hate everything that you have done to the women. That's right. Now come out. I want that ruler demon of rejection that causes so much trouble in the world today. I command you to go. Now come out. All these spirits of rejection. We are not rejected. We're loved. Now come out of everyone. I want the demons to come out of everyone, all these spirits of rejection. You will go in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out of them. I come against rejection through illness, where a woman has an illness and the demons of rejection tell her that she is not worthy. She is not worthy to be healed. That's right. Now come out. All these demons that come in where the woman has female problems, where the woman has female problems, and the demons come and reject her and tell her that she is not a good wife. That's right. Her husband doesn't love her. He wants to find another woman. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out right now. Loose my sisters and set them free. All these demons that come in through illnesses, like sexual illnesses, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Where the women are afraid the husbands will reject them because they can no longer perform the way they once did. Now come out in Jesus' name. Come out, those demons of rejection. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Spirits of rejection, I call you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your power and drive you out. I command you to come out. The habit of being rejected, I call out the habit of women being rejected. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. The habits of women being rejected, where they've grown up, they were rejected. I come against conception and lust and rejection in the womb. I call you out in Jesus' name. And the habits of being rejected. I call out those habits of being rejected, where the women grew up being rejected. Come out, those demons that expect, the demons that tell a woman that she should expect to be rejected. I call you out, the demons that tell the women that she should expect to be rejected. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out, the habit of being rejected, the habit of rejecting others, the expectation of being rejected. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out of the women. Come out, all these hurts and deep hurts and scars and nests that women have, I command those to go in Jesus' name. I come out of my sisters right now in the name of Jesus Christ. All hurts and scars and nests, I command you to go. The deep hurts, the women are scarred deeply. I command those deep scars and those deep roots of hurts and rejection to come out in Jesus' name. I come out of my sister. Your power is broken, and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. That deep-seated rejection, deep-seated hurts, I command you to go in Jesus' name. And I loose the spirit of love upon my sisters in Jesus' name. And I love my sisters, and God loves you, and you love yourself. Now come out. We love each other. We loose the spirits of love. We call down the spirits of love from God. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would just show the women how much they're loved, Father. Just show them, Father, how much that they're loved. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love the women. And Lord, I just pray that the husbands will show the women how much that they're loved. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Those demons that tell the women that God can't love them, they are so rejected that they don't believe that God can love them. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Those demons that hurt the women so much that they don't feel that God can love them, that they're inferior. I come against those demons that tell the women they're just so inferior, inadequate, that God can't love them. That's right. In the name that they're unlovely, I call out those unlovely demons and those ugly demons. I call you out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of ugliness. Come out, spirits of ugliness and unloveliness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I bind your power, I drive you out of the women in the name of Jesus Christ. I stir you up and I command you to come out. All these demons of unlovely and ugliness and unlovely, come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of rejection, I want that whole family, come out right now. I come against those demons that cause the women this inability to give and receive love. Come out, spirits of inability to give and receive love. Prenatal rejection, conception in lust, come out right now. The demons that keep a woman from showing her love, come out, spirits. The spirits of inability to show the emotions. I call out those demons of inability to show the emotions. Inability to show love or to receive love or inability to cry. I come against those demons that keep women from crying. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Those hardness. I come against spirits of hardness and hard-heartedness that comes in through women being mistreated. Come out right now, spirits of hardness and hard-heartedness that come in through women being treated. I command you to go. Come out, spirits of hardness and hard-heartedness and cold-heartedness. I command you to go. They come in through the women being mistreated. I command you to go. I bind your power and I drive you out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out of them. All this rejection, all this deep-seated rejection, all hurts and deep hurts, I command you to come out of the women in Jesus' name. I command those demons that keep them from crying to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. Those spirits of falsity, that they're afraid to cry, they're afraid to show their emotions, I command those to come out in Jesus' name. Come out right now. The demons that keep them from crying, that keep them from showing their emotions, come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go, those spirits of hardness and coldness. Go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. I stir up the emotional demons. I call you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. The emotional demons. I bind your power and I drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. You will loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. By the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, we hate you, rejection. Now come out of them. We loose the love upon the people in Jesus' name. We loose them and let them cry in the name of Jesus Christ. We let them cry and show their emotions in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. Come out. I command those demons that keep the women from crying to come out in Jesus' name. Now come out. The no emotions, lack of emotions, no joy. Come out right now. Spirits of no joy, no emotions, no feelings, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of them. I stir you up and I drive you out. I demand you let the women cry in Jesus' name. You have no choice. I break your power. I drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out of them. Now come out, every spirit of bitterness. I call out the spirit of bitterness, roots of bitterness, ruler of bitterness, all the bitterness that comes in through women being hurt. I command you to go. All this bitterness that comes in through the women being hurt by their grandfathers, their fathers, their husbands, their sons, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All this bitterness over all this rejection and all this hurt, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. I want all these spirits of bitterness to go in Jesus' name. We break your power. We drive you out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of bitterness, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of resentment, hatred, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness for self, come out in Jesus' name. All these demons that women can't forgive themselves, I command it to go in Jesus' name. Come out, demons that cause the women inability to forgive themselves, I command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out, hatred and self-hatred. Come out, self-hatred over the mistakes they have made. They hate the men do not treat them right, and they take it out on themselves. Now come out, those false demons of self-hatred that come in through the men mistreating them. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I break your power and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Those demons, they come in through the men mistreating them. The women take it out on themselves. They're abused. I come against those demons that come in through the abused woman. And then she hates herself. She doesn't hate her father. She hates herself because she thinks there's something wrong with her. Now come out, those demons that come in through the abused woman, through hating herself, through not hating the person who took advantage of her. Now come out. I want all that bitterness that comes in through the abused woman, through the incest and the rape, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, all hatred, resentment, self-hatred, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out, spirits of violence, temper, anger, and retaliation. I call out all these spirits of violence, temper, anger, and retaliation. I command you to go in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.